League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yo, what's happening, people? This week I sat down with two brothers. Nothing can break these two apart. This is Crept and Conan, two pioneers in UK rap. They have stamped their authority in UK rap history since inception. They've been doing this for 15 years plus. And this week I sat down with them on Thoughts and Akali to discuss what they've been through, where they're going, and what they've achieved so far. This is Thoughts and Akali with Crept and Conan.
Cole, Cass, my brothers. What's happening, man? Yo.
That was your name, man.
Young Cole, you know.
Yo,
Mr. Wilson.
What's cracking, is how you doing me, though?
Oh, man, you sent a couple of invoices. I know the name. You get me?
Yeah.
What are you saying? There's a button right there.
Oh, shit. That's behind what I'm saying.
You see it?
Oh, snap.
Yeah, you got it?
Yeah.
Just hold it down. What's happening, boys? How you doing?
It's going good.
Thanks for joining me, man. Feel honoured.
Good?
Yeah, man. Not too bad, man. I want to talk about you lot's progress and your brotherhood, actually, because I feel like you lot have got one of the strongest brotherhoods I've ever seen in music culture. You kind of remind me of the Locks a little bit. Just like, just you could just see that core friendship there. You lot have never had any public fallouts. And as good as artists that you are individually, no one's ever really done anything too separate. Talk to me about that. How does Crept know Conan? Because I know Crept is from Gypsy Hill, you're from Fulton Heath.
Uh-huh.
Like, how did that friendship get established?
Really? It's the streets, isn't it? So, obviously, everyone, like, people from my area went to the same school as Crept. And, yeah, we just linked up through mutuals. Like, our areas, like, had kind of an alliance. And then, yeah, it was kind of through that, to be fair. Obviously, other aspects as well. Just school being, you know what I'm saying? Everyone being from the ends as well. Like, obviously, South, everybody from South knows each other, innit? Kind of.
Yeah.
It's either you lot, you're either on one side or the other side, and our areas is one side, you get me? Like, we're all together, so, yeah, it was only right.
But you lot weren't a duo specifically at the start, were you?
No. We wasn't a duo. We was just, like, there was pair of us, to be fair. And it was all the man them that had bars that would spit. We would record tunes at Wheezy's yard. Big up Wheeze, he's now Cheeky Sport, Joel Bell. We would record at Wheezy's yard with the man them, Frets, now part of the Disciples, Big Rhythms. And yeah, we all just used to spit together. It wasn't like a specific, like me and Cole set out to be Crept and Conan. We decided that we was going to make like a drip set mixtape. And then it was going to be me, Conan, and Reds on it. And then Reds went jail, innit?
Yeah, we all went jail, to be fair. There was like...
Yeah, it kept swapping around.
Yeah, there was
a stage where you and Reds was in jail at the same time, just me, and then I wasn't really on doing music. Conan wrote me a letter from jail and was like, bro, when I come out of jail, man's going to do this thing properly. Mm. Like, I remember it. He wrote me the letter. I was reading it in my room. And then when he come out of jail, then Reds ended up going to jail. And then... Red Rum, our first mixtape, was meant to be Reds, Crept, Cones.
Yeah.
And then Reds ended up going down and it just ended up being me and Cones. And, like, that was kind of where the glue started, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because the thing that I really appreciate about you two is how well you complement each other style-wise. Like, how do you think that kind of came about? It's like no one can really say Crept is better than Conan or Conan is better than Crept. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's like that's a very, very unique thing to have. Do you get what I'm saying? Crept's not looking sure right now. I think he's like otherwise.
No. I was seeing if he was going that way or this way. Like, I'm watching the road and that.
Like no one can really say Crept's better than Conan or Conan's better than Crept. Like it's very, very... It's very, very close. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I couldn't call it. Like, how do you think that you guys have managed to be able to accomplish that? Like, and how do your styles just blend so well together?
if I'm honest, yeah, when we was all together, like, as one, like, the gyp, like, just doing music, everyone was sick. And I feel like that's made us always keep up the levels, because growing up, like, there was, like, Mudge, there was Reds, there was Festa, there was, you get me, there's Bonkers, there was Bear of Us, you get me? Like, everybody used to just go and do sets. Like, back in the day, there used to be, like, a little party and it ends at Shubs, like, Whitehall Shubs, and every time, like, obviously, you know, they'll have the bashment and then the grime DJs will come on, you get me, and then they'll put on the grime and everyone runs to the mic and it's who can shell down the most. And that was what used to happen in the end. So we always used to be on our A game. Like, everyone had to come and have their shutdown lyric, you feel me? So from then, grime times, like, we've always been perfecting the craft. I feel like it kept us all on our A game. So yeah, like, for then it to end up just me and Tally, and then, like, yeah, we've just been like that. Like, every time he writes a verse, inspire me to write a verse, vice versa. So we just always, you know what I'm saying, trying to just keep up the pattern, you feel me?
But what I want to know is, why were you so convinced when you was in jail that when you came out you was going to do this? And the reason why I ask is, when you guys came out and you were making noise, mm-hmm. and you started getting that, well, I don't know outside of your area, but mm-hmm. for me, like, when I really started to pay attention was, like, your SBTV freestyles, mm-hmm. and they were all rap. Yeah, you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, and at the time, there wasn't a lot of precedent in terms of who could blow from rap, if that makes any sense. I think Giggs had probably just made it to that level around that time. So what made you so convinced, like, this was a real career choice? Was it your only option at the time?
Yeah, and I can't lie to you. When I was in the can, bro, like, there was Bear Man on the wing. So it's like, you have every area on the wing and everyone used to spit. So I had to explain, like, in jail, you always get news faster than people on the road. So we're hearing, like, when Chip's on the radio, we was all locked in. When we're hearing Giggs is opening up for Lil Wayne and just little things that was happening on the roads music-wise, we was just hearing things is happening, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it was like, all right, cool, like, the end sounds is firing, that. So I need to get back in the mix, you know what I'm saying? So it was just, yeah, like, it was just, like, just hearing everything happening, mixtapes coming in the jailhouse, like, tapes, everyone's getting vibes, like, you're just hearing the outside music, Devious, Spray, to everyone, bro. Like, everyone's just getting played in the jailhouse, you get me? So it just fires, if you're a musician and you rap, it just fires you up, like, all right, cool, like, when I come out, I'm getting back into the race, you feel me? So, yeah.
And obviously, I've been around you guys for a very long time, you know, some of my early vivid memories, I remember, like, 2010, early doors, like, I remember seeing you with a Rolex or Crept with the A5 with the TV in it when he used to live on Woolley Road and that.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, man, I've been around, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
I even, you know, we've never admitted this on camera, but I even managed you lot for like 2 months before.
Oh, so
I like that.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? I was your first manager. Then you kept my card out. You get what I'm saying? JD Sports photo shoots.
Yeah.
I think I even introduced you lot to your next manager, actually, that you had at the time after that. But yeah, I remember like the tsunami days. It was very exciting times. I used to come down, we shot My Hood and 14 Heath, I believe, and all those types of vibes. Now, Tsunami, that was a epic, legendary mixtape. Do you feel like that's what really put you guys on the map?
Do you know what? I think every time you do something, you think you're on the map until you get introduced to a new map.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you get what I'm saying?
That's
like,
true.
At the time, yeah, man thought, yeah, man's on the map. Like, Tsunami, man, we climbed in the hip-hop charts on iTunes. Man's gas, like, never seen something like this happen with us before. You get what I'm trying to say? And I think it was our first official platform release. Before we done, when we was doing Red Run, I was just selling that from the car.
Yeah, dropping it in little mixtape shops and that.
Do you know what's so funny? You know what I'm remembering right now? That you lot were like the first people that, when you used to post, like, you remember when, you know, like, there's certain people, not so much now because YouTube's changed, but mm-hmm. there's certain people, you know, when they upload a video, the views are going to go crazy.
I remember
there was a time where it's like Crept and Conan, like, you was one of the first people that when you drop a video, it's just about to go nuts. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember that?
Yeah, we had Twitter on Smash.
Yeah, like, you was like the first people that, like, it was obvious that you had fans.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
We had a little
community. Yeah, you had a community.
Team Play Day. Everyone's all grown up now, so it's bad at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Still, we, like, when we used to drop things, then it would freeze at 301. Or was it 301?
Yeah.
301. Yeah. We always used to freeze at 301, and then, yeah, we look back in the, you know, a couple hours or the next day, it's just gone mad.
Yeah.
That was like our version of viral back in the day, innit?
Now, obviously, as we've been in this industry for a very long time, as you mentioned, every time you do something, it's like you get put on a bigger map. So maybe you could say sometimes you start as a little town, then you go into like a city, and then you go into a country.
Yes,
and
yes,
like,
yes.
Oh, man. That's what, here, man.
that's exactly what it feels like. You get me? Like, where I think Tsunami, it felt like, ends. Mm. And then after Tsunami started, you know, dropping Paranormal Activities, and then I think when we dropped Otis, that felt like we went from the ends to
remember we dropped Tsunami, and then I think we dropped the Link Up.
Oh, Link Up TV Behind Bars.
Yeah, and then it was like, yeah, that was solidifying the ends pattern. Like, the ends was getting dominated, and then boom, when Otis came, yeah, that went to another, like,
yeah, that's when we felt like,
yeah,
real viral.
Yeah.
Like, as in, everybody's seen this. This is,
I think you, man, taught us all. All of us. We all learned with you. Like, we're like,
bro, that
swear
was
down,
mad.
Our videos can
hit these
numbers and that.
Yeah, that was mad. Even how we did that was kind of mad still. Like, it was smart. Like, this is what I'm saying. We had the Avengers, the Team Play Dirty. We told Team Play Dirty, go on the original video, innit? Kanye and Jay-Z's Otis. And flood the comments. We've just watched Captain Conan's one. And if you went on the comments, all you would see is crap and crap and crap. Then you have people from Germany, this person, that person, all diverting to our video because they wanted to watch what everybody's talking about in the comments. So we diverted all their traffic from their video to ours because everybody wanted to know what is this crap and crap thing that they're talking about. And then we was getting comments from mad countries on our video. It was like, yo. And yeah, that was like our kind of strategy of how even done that, to be fair.
And it started beefing, like, it was UK versus America in the comments. Whose one's better, Jay-Z or our one?
That was our little strategy. Man's been marketing from them time there, man. You get what I'm trying to say? Early doors thinking of strategies, how we can...
No, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I think because you lot have been so successful and still so relevant, sometimes you're a little bit overlooked. In my opinion, I could be wrong, just in my opinion, you're a little bit overlooked in terms of how legendary and pioneering as UK rappers as you are, because it's like you're from the same cloth as everybody that I used to watch on, or I used to see on Media Massacre, for example. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Where, like, you can't say, if you're talking Giggs or you're talking Blade Brown or you're talking flipping anyone in that ilk, like, Krept and Conan's names are also very prominent in there. It's just because also because you've been a little bit mainstream a little bit. I don't think you get mentioned enough in that ilk, if that makes any sense.
I used to probably think it was because we was, like, caught in the middle. Like, we wasn't... Like,
age-wise.
Yeah, like, we wasn't... Okay. Like, you know, we didn't start going off when, you know, the grime lot started going off in terms of, you know, the chips to the... Gets is to, we did it, like, that wasn't our era. We were spitting in the ends then, but as in, like, when everybody started really getting to know people, and then, like, we're before the generations of, you know, like, the Husses, the Daves, like, so it's like we're just bang in the middle of this.
Yeah, we're like Malcolm in the middle.
It's weird, like, it's, I can't explain it. Like, we can hang with both sides, if that makes sense. It's weird.
Yeah, we're like, I feel like we're the beginning of the new gen, but then we were still with the old gen, like you say, in the Media Massacres and the
stuff. It's like weird placement, because what I mean by that is, like, you was on those platforms or amongst that ilk of people. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But because you've branched out in so many mainstream commercial things, it's like you're not originally, you just not naturally think, remember that you guys have been there since then.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? Man, we was there, because you got to remember, when we're doing Paranormal Activity, everybody's on the song, like, from Benny Banks to Scorcher to Double S.
English Frank
to Cash Tastics to DVs to... Do you get what I'm saying? Everyone was on the song. And then, obviously, when you look at Tsunami, everybody's on Tsunami as well. From, you get what I'm saying? From Gets to Femme Fell to G Fresh to H,
Blade,
to Blade, to Tep. You know what I'm saying? To Dubs, to Meth. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, everybody's on the tape with us, so we was a part of that era. Even when, like, when I just came to my mind, which before Grime League got taken down the first time, with the Don Strapsy song and...
The only time.
So I didn't know. And then when it was Grime Day, Lynn, it was Grime Day. Like, we was there in the mix, bro, like...
Yeah.
He was there, bro.
Grime Daily, one of the first videos I saw was a song from Red Rum. Can't remember what song it was.
Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes.
Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes, bro.
From Red Rum.
It was a song from Red Rum. I remember, like, this was like one of the first videos when it was Grime Daily. And then we locked in from there, you get me? I remember we done, where did we do that freestyle outside of O2?
Yes, bro, when you had the camera. And
Don't forget, we was there at the start.
I remember. You know, a lot of people, they don't see how much work goes into how you have to continue to fight to stay relevant or continue to fight to just be consistent and not comfortable. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And you guys... Years ago, you opened up your first restaurant. And you know what they say, restaurants are like the hardest thing to get into and all that kind of stuff. But you was one of the first people to show us as a community, especially people that come from where we come from, that you can do something so great and out of the box. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. I remember coming to that launch. I remember walking into that restaurant and seeing how clean everything looked and how professional everything looked, and I remember turning my head and seeing Mo stacked there eating a cheeseburger, then I'm turning my head over there. If you don't eat meat, my bad, bro, but I'm saying people was just eating things, you get what I'm trying to say? I turn around, I see another celebrity or this person or whatever, do you get what I'm saying? I thought, rah, like, this is crazy to witness you lot accomplish that. Even now, from doing that business to running your own businesses and then flipping the rap game as well, and then obviously Nala, which we all know of as well. Where do you guys get that drive from that you're consistently like activating?
I think that was always the goal, you get what I'm saying? Like, just watching the Americans and seeing how they did it. Obviously, when you're a kid and you're coming up and you're watching MTV Base and you're seeing all these people and you're seeing MTV, you're watching MTV Cribs and then you see them talking about, yeah, I got this, and then you see certain other artists saying, yeah, I got this from Clothing Line, and Fashion makes 100 million, and you see Jay-Z talking about, yeah, Ace of Spades, and then you see like all these things that these guys are doing, and you think it's not just the music, and it's like, all right, cool. When we get an opportunity to branch out, that's what we're gonna do. You feel me? It's just, how do we do that? Do you get what I'm saying? It's like we've got to take over kind of thing. So, like, the bigger you get into this in the music game and just in entertainment in general, you understand the value of owning things, especially when you sign deals and you see how the labels do with artists. So you see how, do you get what I'm saying? You see how that whole mechanism works, and you realize you're always kind of like, not the puppet, but you're always like, brands always just use you as the face, and then once you're dust, they just move on to the next artist, and you're just a commodity. So it's like, all right, cool, how do we own our own stuff? How do we be the CEOs and the bosses of what we're promoting? And we're not always promoting for somebody else.
Yeah, no,
and
for
also
sure.
Being in a record deal and having a, like, realizing that we was in a bad deal, that made man more hungry as well.
Like, how bad was your deal? I've heard about this. I've heard you mention
our deal. If they could have made our deal a 380, they would have made it a 380. Because it was mental.
Yeah, but you know what it is? It was even bad. Sorry to cut you, Tally. Is because we signed a deal that leaked into the streaming era. So we're signing a deal based on CDs, vinyls, etc. Then the whole game's changed and it's streaming.
On the week of our album release.
And we're still going for old format. Now your song gets just played forever. Do you get what I'm saying? So the whole mechanism's changed. So now we're in a deal that's based over the dinosaur way. And we're just watching everybody else get mad at deals now. The whole format of deals is changing. We're still in the old.
How many options was in your deal?
Five.
And
four.
There was four. And was it like, you couldn't release a project till a certain amount of time had passed between each project?
And we couldn't release the project. So we couldn't put a video till the project was finished all the time.
Okay.
We couldn't like release a song.
And four projects, and are you out of that deal now?
Yeah.
But did you just recently come out of that deal?
Be about 2 years ago.
And
two
it's
years
it two, took two years ago. So what did it take, like about 10 years to put out these four projects?
No, remember COVID, and it was just all mad. And
yeah, but how long was you in
2013 and come out of it 2022.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, remember, we put out two projects one time and it counted as one.
Yes. So how were you guys making bread, or was you kind of renegotiating every time?
No, that's why we put so much effort into our live and that, like.
Oh,
and we like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when man's come to our shows, man think the stage is flying. It's because we want to really go in with our life. That's why you see man doing that. It turned man into a monster, bro. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, that deal made man think, you lot have like all this music that man's made. Man's never gonna see a pound from the music sales ever, which is crazy. After being in a deal for however many years, man's never made a pound off these records that we sold millions and millions of records. That's either gonna make or break you, innit?
Yeah.
And for us, it made us, bro. Like, that gave man the drive. Like, so everything that we was doing with radio, like, remember when we got our radio show with Apple, for example, it was meant to be like three or six episodes. But we said, nah, we're going to make this so sick that they're not going to want to switch this deal off, you get me? So we went in and we started physically getting in there, playing games, inviting guests, doing all of it. We went the extra mile and then we ended up doing 26 to nearly 30 episodes. You know what I'm saying? Ended up doing TV, branching out, going crazy with the live. Like, we was not joking when it came to everything. Anything else, you know what I'm saying? Relationships, brand deals, all of this stuff.
Everything,
like,
we had this for a long time because we make sure we go the extra mile.
It's not
just a one-off thing.
When we had our deal with Puma, our first deal with Puma, do you think we just done stuck to the deliverables? We didn't, bro. We was having brand wars with Storms. We was, you know what I'm saying? We was going in for the extra mile. Like, that wasn't a part of our deliverables. We was going in, repping Puma, till they saw the value in us. So they was like, yeah. And they just kept going. And do you know what I'm saying? We found value in other things other than the music sales. Do you know what I'm saying? Obviously, and at the same time, regardless if we're not getting money from the actual physical sale of the music, if the songs do well, we can perform it and make money on that.
Yeah, and you still get publishing.
We still get all of that stuff, but just the record sales specifically, man got, you get me, man got bumped.
Yeah, the recouping's crazy to the point where, you're not getting a pound. What was the phrase that they said?
They said, oh, you guys are profitable, but you can't recoup. And man was like, how does that make sense?
Because you're recouping on the 17. Do you get me? So they're going to be in profit, but you're always recouping. Like, you're not in profit.
So for people that don't understand it, on easy terms, say...
Just check Bounce's YouTube. It's probably somewhere over there. I've seen him explaining it.
Is it 20? What, the recouping on the 20%?
Yeah.
So you got to make five times the money to recoup just your section, basically. Like,
but what I want to know is, even though you signed a deal 10 years ago,
yeah,
and with the options you were said, okay, look, on the second option you're going to get this amount of money, on the third option you're going to get this amount of money, on the fourth option you're going to get this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming
they didn't think we would make it to the fourth option.
No one really does. So you got to the fourth option, but because you signed 10 years ago, obviously inflation, so much more money in the scene now and all that kind of stuff, the rates where you would have negotiated at 10 years ago might not have been the craziest numbers, but with, or were they? I don't know. You didn't look like, you didn't flinch then. Was that the craziest?
No, but it was
10 years ago. So something that might have sounded crazy then might not be so crazy now.
Of course not.
So what I'm saying is, obviously you guys had massive success songs like Freak of the Week, et cetera, et cetera. Don't Waste My Time. All these bangers, yeah. Were you able to negotiate at a higher price than what was set out in the contract every time you came back because you've shown
the only thing
enough
was
value
able to
or not really
was the 360.
We got out of the 360.
Got out of the 360.
Oh, okay. But you had to stick with the money that we was given.
Yeah.
And what's really difficult with groups as well, because it's a tough place to be, because Krept and Conan are two separate individuals, but they're one act. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you was flipping, let me use someone we know that you get on. Let's just say it was Heady One or something. Heady's an artist by himself. And he is an artist just like Krept and Conan's an artist. And then you have like a group, like, let's just say you have a group like Spice Girls or something. There's five of them.
Yeah.
These are all one artist.
Yeah.
And so if they were all of the same value, you'd still pay Heady One the same amount of money that you'd have to pay the Spice Girls or you'd have to pay Krypton and Conan, if that makes sense. Because it's just one act.
So one slot, isn't it?
That's probably why you've had to also be so hands-on with everything else outside of music, because everything has been a split musically, if that makes any sense, because you're representing two human beings but one artist. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. But at the same time, like, everything, we bear the cost together as well.
Yeah.
So we don't look at things like, oh, we got to split it. Like, man's looking at it like, I'm in this mad industry with my brother, innit? You know what I'm saying? So no matter what happens, I'm with my brother. We got each other. We got each other's best interests at heart. And then when it comes to, you know, taking the L's, because man don't talk about the L's that man's got to take, or the things we got to pay for, or this, that, and the fourth, we split that as well, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? So a man just looks at it like that. And man just got to work double hard. And it's kind of always felt like that, you know what I'm trying to say? So it's just made man hunger and turned man into the guys that we are today, you get me?
There's different types of creatives. Like, see me, I have ideas all the time, but there's only some that I'm actually going to do. I don't go for the really wild ones, if that makes any sense. Mm. Even though sometimes I feel like I should.
I'm going for the wild ones, bro.
Yeah, you lot do the wild ones, like the restaurant, like, and then the cream. So what I want to know is, like, I want to know, like how the fuck do you make a cream? Like, how do you make a cream? Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, how do you, like, you're like, yeah, like, I love my daughter, I don't like these skin products, like, and then you just make a cream. Like, how does that work?
Like, I can't lie, bro, yeah. You see the way me and Cone's been, yeah?
Like, certain men are just about getting T-shirts printed now, like, making T-shirts.
Do you know what it is? Firstly, the first thing you do is Google, innit?
Like, yeah.
Google is your best friend, bro. You know, cream manufacturers in Britain. Square one. That's where you start. And then your phone book, your network, asking people that are in, might not be in cream specific related businesses, but bro, everybody knows someone or knows someone that knows someone that knows someone. So it was just a case of reaching out to multiple different people, like, yo, I got this idea. I hit a few people up, and then there was someone I hit up that said, oh, it's crazy because I just met a manufacturer that does skincare. Do you know what I'm saying? It went from there, and then it's now you've got to turn into a scientist, innit, now, because you need to know what ingredients you need to put in, what ingredients you don't want to put in, and it actually takes time. So it was like, what, 2 year and a half of like actually learning about the science of these ingredients, other brands, what products, and what, why, you know, there's a lot of brands that are facing issues now because they've got bad ingredients in there. And it just took time. Like, I felt like man was at school again, because man was sitting there learning about skincare ingredients, formulations, what's good, what's bad, and actually putting the effort in. Like, people might not think that man's willing to do that stuff, do you know what I'm saying? But man turned into a student of cosmetics during lockdown, and sat there like every day researching ingredients and that. Like, that's all it takes if you look enough and work hard enough and put time and effort into it.
It's
you
just can the do patience anything. Of doing it.
You can do anything. Conan's bloody learning how to mix and record man's album. Man recorded 7 days, 7 nights. Conan's engineering it and recording it, bro. Like, and doing all these vocals. And I'm saying, how did you learn all this? When? You know what I'm saying? We're living in the same yard. Conan's there doing up melodies in his room and that. I'm like, yo, what's going on? How have you got here? Because I don't have a clue how to do it. But at the same time, he took that and said, bro, I don't want to have to rely on no one. That's the mentality man's got. And he was like, I'm going to learn how to do it myself, so I know how I want my vocals to sound. And he took that initiative to do that. Yeah. And certain people are just not willing to take the initiative to go and put the time into something that they want to do, innit? Any idea is possible because someone's done it.
Yeah, no, of course, that's 100% fact. But then also as well, with the success of Gnarly and what you've been able to achieve, I'm pretty sure that having this one on your back really reaffirmed the idea and gives you the courage and belief to say what you're saying. But what I want to know, because I know you're involved in Gnarly as well and you've supported it since inception, yeah? What I want to know is, like, when Krep said, oh, yeah, man's making a cream, look, I know you can make anything. Like, we can make a car, and that, yeah? But didn't you think, like, what was your first reaction, I'm making a cream? Was you just like, yeah, let's make a cream?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, you just started making a cream.
Yeah, but did you not think this one's a bit far-fetched, Crypt?
No, bro, no, no, not even bro. Once. No, mother's bro, life, no.
You don't understand.
You got to remember, when we made the restaurant, bro, you got to understand, we're from the hood, bro. Like,
yeah.
We had a full-blown restaurant. Memorials on the wall. People coming there, DJ. We had DJs having brunches. We're just turning up and it's our restaurant. Like,
even, it felt mad,
how many 120
seats, yeah.
Seats, bro. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, that was mad to us, bro. Like, the mayor's opening it with scissors and that. Like, bro, that was enough to know that we could do anything you want to do.
Like, for me, if you told me, I'd just be like,
Inception,
I would think
you probably would have thought, you're a madman.
No, I just think this is so random. Like, because there's, look. Like, I don't know. Like, see a restaurant.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can see it. It makes sense. Like, I can see the tweet. We're going to have a restaurant called Crepes and Cones. I can see the shop. I'm in the shop. It's believable, but cream is just so random and far-fetched.
No,
you get what I'm saying?
No.
But that's why I'm so impressed by what you've been able to accomplish, because it's not the regular degular.
No,
you know
facts,
what I'm trying to say? I don't know any other person from our world or our industry, England, US.
Yeah.
Like, with most things, there's precedent.
Yeah,
you get what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yeah, there was no blueprint.
Yeah, I'm in the alcohol business, but I've seen many
of
people
of course.
Be in the alcohol business.
Like, if you go
business.
Into fashion, it's not going to be a surprise that you've got clothes.
Like, you're letting us know, oh, we can do creams now. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but you've got Riri with the Fenty.
Yeah, but she's a woman. She's a woman.
That's kind of a... Yeah,
there's precedent for
makeup.
That. There's been years of precedent for that. So that's why it's a different thing. Obviously, we've all been in relationships or whatever, but the way in which you carry yourself with your ex, being able to have her being a part of the business as well, and the, like, I'll just be on Instagram and I'll just every other Wednesday see you lot picking up. Oh yeah, we was just at the mum and dad awards. We just won mum and dad of the year. Like, this and that. Like, you know, there's no days off over there. So I'm saying, like as a man on a maturity level, like, how have you been able to? Because we don't come from a place where we see even precedent of managing ex relationships that well. Like, no one really does has and. Like, you can sometimes people are friends with their exes, but business as well, owners, you know what I'm trying to say? How do you do that?
Nah, oh, our daughter, man. Like, we share the same goal of doing the best for our daughter.
Yeah.
Like, in any situation, like, all you have to do is put your daughter first, innit? So, regardless of what's happened, we haven't worked out and whatever, our daughter comes first. So, anything that happens, I'm always going to put my daughter first before any. Emotion before anything.
You know, bro is a team player. Does that make sense? Like, we've been in this Crepton Conan for how many years? So
yeah, Crept's bro.
Not used to being in the team.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And putting the goal first and working towards a common goal, you get what I'm saying? So it's only gonna then apply into other things that he's doing it.
Seems like just the other day Young Kings won, the first one actually came out. I remember we saw that Daily Doppy on the Thrones. Things that one of the first times we actually did anything different on a set, like made a set out of a Daily Duppy, if that makes any sense. And obviously Young Kings 2 is coming out now. What would you say the main difference between who you guys were then and who you guys are now is, if it's not obvious to somebody watching and someone who hasn't been tuned in?
Growth and experience.
Yeah.
Going through life, obviously. Crep's got kids now. We've obviously all done businesses. We've experienced a lot of things. Experienced wins, losses. You get what I'm saying? Heartaches. You get what I'm saying? Just in general, like, people passing away. Like, yeah, man, just life in general, man. Obviously, you still have the hunger. I feel like I've got it more now than I... Do I have it more now than I did then? I don't know. Do you have it more now than you did then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like...
Because I feel like man's learnt so much now. Man just wants to apply everything man's learnt across the years.
Yeah.
For example, we know if we, you know, create music and we own our music and we release it, the benefits of doing that over signing a mad deal back in the day, which we thought was the right thing to do, or whatever it is, we've just learned so much, and it just feels like man's more hungry. I want to release more now. I want to do this more now. I want to make more business. I want to do great things. I want to, you know, keep innovating what we're doing and our scene and as a culture and all of that stuff. It just feels like it's bigger than us now. Do you know what I'm saying? Now man's got responsibilities. Of course man's going to be more hungry.
We're not in survival mode anymore, so the decisions we make are not based off, I need the bread right now, today. But like now we're at a point where it's just like, okay, this is how it works. Do you get what I'm saying? And it's just attacking it.
You nearly signed a deal for 3 bags back in the day.
Yeah, like we would have signed.
You nearly signed a deal for 3 bags.
Yeah, bro, like publishing though with Broski that owned Channel U, RIP.
Oh.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? Because man was in desperation mode.
Obviously, you guys have launched several businesses. I know there's something else that you're about to launch soon. What can you tell us about that?
This is a big move for us. Man's opening a supermarket.
A supermarket?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you see what you're talking about? Like, oh, you lot are going to cream and why you
know? It's called Saveways. It's like 20,000 square foot, 2 floors, massive supermarket.
Bakery.
Meat. Do you know what it is? You see when you go on that aisle.
World Food aisle. It's basically in that. World Food. As a whole supermarket.
But a whole supermarket of that.
Oh, sick. So we can get some Maggi and stuff.
From one place. Yeah, you can get everything you need. Seasonings, hair products, halal meat.
Exotic
butchers,
fish.
Bakery, fish. All in one place. So you don't have to go to your little random butchers on the back alley. You got to go get your plating from here. You know what I'm saying? You just put it all in one place and you can get everything, as well as normal household goods and products and all of that stuff. And you know what I'm saying? So
do you know why I think that's a great idea, actually? Because I've always thought of this in my head, not your what you just said, but I remember, do you ever remember going to Tesco the first time when you saw that World Food aisle? And then you felt, I'll tell you what I felt. I felt like, wow, like we're really being recognized because we've got our own aisle. Yeah? And then when I became a businessman, do you know what I realized? That you know why that aisle was there? That aisle is not even really about recognition. Obviously, some aspects of it because you are there, but they don't want you to spend your money elsewhere. They want you to spend as much money in here as possible. Because as black families, your mum does do the Tesco run or the Aldi run, Lidl run, Marks and Spencer run, whatever run.
Black and ethnic and Asian people, we gotta do multiple runs.
You gotta do multiple runs. But they had that aisle there, so it was less of a reason for you to go to the other joint.
100%.
So with your store,
it's
what you're
still
saying,
not everything that you need.
Yeah, it's not everything that you need, but it puts you off going to the other shop for a little while. Because you know that say if you was going to the other shop now and you wanted to go buy a Scotch bonnets, while you're in the shop picking up the Scotch bonnets, you might pick up some plantain. You know what shopping's like. You might pick up 4 or 5 extra things in the other shop.
Yeah, 100%.
They want you to spend all the money with you in there now so that when you go to the other shop, you've got less money to spend.
Yeah.
Do you get it? So what you're saying is with your supermarket, you get all that good stuff and normal stuff in the same place. So we don't even have to go nowhere else now. We're just going to save ways.
Yeah.
What's the slogan, Cones?
Why go anywhere else?
Wow.
You get me.
Why did I get the call up for this one?
Because we partnered up with Kesar. So big up Kesar, that's man's brother from the same area. And Kesar, for people that don't know, Kesar owns Smacks.
Steakout.
And he does loads of other things. So, you know, when it comes to business, one thing we've learned is when you partner up with people that are sick in these specific fields and do this, do you know what I'm saying? Because you end up like a situation we had with Crepes and Cones, there was no partners, it was just me and Cones stressed out, serving man chips and doing payroll ourselves. It was mad, do you know what I'm saying? So with future business and ventures, it's about partnerships and partnering with the right people.
Do you know what? It's crazy that you said J2K, because J2K is one of them ones too. Like, he's done, like, been a part of Crepe Protect. He's done Crepes and Cones with you guys. Now he's got his own shoes and shit. Do you get what I'm trying to say? He was like
the first to do the mad thing business wise. Like, Crepe Protect was like, as in takes, because that was random as well.
Because
I wouldn't know, how do you protect your crepes, bro?
How do you create a spray?
It's mad, isn't it? But like, again, subtly, he's showing us we can do anything, though, if we want.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Do you get what I'm saying?
He even asked me to get involved at the beginning. I still kick myself to this day. I wasn't taking it.
Joker.
I wasn't taking it serious.
That's
serious.
Why he gave the big bag to Nala, though.
Yeah. I was ready, man. I was on it, but I wasn't following through, like, actively being like, I want to be a part of this. Let me do this. Let me do that. Do you get what I'm saying? So to see what it grew to is incredible. So where is Safeways going to be then?
Bedderton Lane, Croydon.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so you're launching it there?
Yeah, it's right near Asda. We're price matching all the grocers as well. So, you know, it's not like, oh, it's going to be more expensive. No, mate, we're price matching and beating prices in general, you know, top brand goods. But then you can also get everything else, man. It's just a one-stop shop that we wanted to create, especially, you know,
for us, bro.
Black, Asian, ethnic minorities, man. Like, we know we can get everything that we want in one place. We don't have to go nowhere. And we can just get the normal stuff as well. So, yeah, man. It's about creating businesses and things that are needed rather than just creating something for the sake.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I think those are the most successful businesses when you're actually fulfilling a need that somebody needs predominantly. Well, realistically, anyway. Yeah. Obviously, when we all die of old age at 99 or 103 or
inshallah,
whatever ages we get to, I don't think anyone can say that you lot didn't try, boy. You lot definitely tried, man. So what's left to achieve then for you lot? Because you've kind of achieved quite a bit at this stage now.
I've started a charity.
For
PTSD. And
they
trauma.
Can't say you never tried, man.
Yeah, literally. But
that's what Post is going to say every time.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get that launched. It's basically the intro for people that haven't had therapy before. So I'm getting that sorted. Like, yeah, just spoke to about 30 therapists on Zoom the other day, just seeing who's going to put their services forward for free if they're going to give it the discount rates. And
yeah,
we're going to start a pilot first and start with about, I think, about three to six people, I think we're going to start. So basically it's going to be like 8 weeks free of therapy, just an intro for people that have never tried it before and haven't got the money for it and the funds, you get me? So yeah, just getting that off the ground. So hopefully that should be rolling by when this comes out, inshallah. So, yeah.
And are you saying that as somebody that's done therapy himself, and are you suggesting that therapy is definitely something that is, because I personally have never had therapy before, but I feel like I need it.
No, you know what it is? It's just good to talk to someone and just unload, bro. And just hearing, just explaining how you feel to somebody that has the medical terminologies for what you're going through and can kind of give you, what's all I'm looking for? Just an idea of what you might be suffering from, or where your traumas are rooted from, or why you do what you do, or the behaviours that you've learned over time and where they stem from. You get what I'm saying? And just to be able to talk to someone knowing that they're here for that. Because, you know, sometimes you don't always want to phone your brethren or phone talk to your gal or whoever and tell them what's actually going on in your head, because you feel like you're burdening them. You feel me? So
yeah,
I feel like that's it's something everyone should do at least once, or at least try.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.